It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific.
Why aren't they in jail right now? They brutally attacked a New York City police officer.
Coast to coast and around the world from the America Out Loud Talk Radio studios.
Our criminal justice system is upside down. It fails every day.
It's time for The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
Someone asked me the other day, are you crazy? And I had to scratch my head and think, yeah, maybe I am. Maybe that's the only way we can get through this world today is a little bit crazy. And then it maybe equals everything out. I'm not sure. I'm Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us. Whether you found us on a podcast or you're listening live right now, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. This hour is brought to you by Gold Co. You can go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out if purchasing precious metals is the right thing for you to do for your savings. That's BookerLikesGold.com. And so many news stories are swirling around. It's hard to discern. It's hard to figure out exactly what to talk about. I've been struggling with it today. What is important and what isn't? Well, Joe Biden, for one, is losing his support in the young generation. It's eroding. And when people like Bernie Sanders are even talking about it, then you know this is a problem for Joe Biden and the Democrats going into the election.
President Biden is putting himself in a position where he has alienated not just young people, but a lot of the Democratic base.
And Bernie Sanders, again, has a pretty good point, and that's what's happening. And you see Joe Biden is constantly trying to buy the vote of the young people, whether it is paying off student loan debt or his stance on the Palestinian situation on college campuses. Joe Biden is a weak leader. Here's Byron Donalds on Joe Biden's America.
Joe Biden has alienated as most of America with his terrible policies, whether that's here at home, inflation, our massively open southern border hurting all Americans, or it's abroad with a failing foreign policy that has us on the brink of World War III. Bernie Sanders can choose whatever he wants. We know Bernie's wrong because his policies are an absolute joke anyway, but Joe Biden has failed America. If the base of the Democrat Party does not want to live in the real world with the rest of us, so be it. But don't drag Americans down that road of these crazy policies, which has now been proven not to work for the people of our country.
I told you it's crazy, but you have to be crazy to live in this crazy world. That makes you sane somehow. That's Byron Donalds from Florida, who actually called Bernie Sanders crazy. But I think Bernie actually has a point here. He's trying to bring up the fact that Joe Biden is losing that young vote, and that's going to be important for the Democrats in November.
This is a man who we better be careful about, and I tell you what I'm going to do.
Uh-oh. Speaking of crazy, this is Maxine Waters. Do you remember her and her stance? She was out in the streets telling people to get in the faces of Republicans and congressmen that were Republicans. Do you remember her doing all of that years ago when Trump was president? Well, this is crazy Maxine Waters. They're all crazy. You got to be crazy to be in Washington, D.C., and you're even crazier if you're a Democrat. This is crazy Maxine, followed up from crazy Bernie a few minutes ago.
I'm going to ask the Justice Department, and I'm going to ask the president to tell us what they're going to do to protect this country against violence if he loses.
If he loses, she's talking about Donald Trump losing the election. She believes that people are up in the hills right now preparing if Donald Trump loses, that all of these people are going to come out of the hills and they are going to, I don't know what she thinks they're going to do, but she's going to try to get the Department of Justice now to pay attention to the people in the hills that are preparing if Donald Trump loses the election in November. This is crazy talk.
If he loses, I want to know about all of those right-wing organizations that he's connected with who are training up in the hills
somewhere,
targeting, what communities they're going to attack.
She's nuts. I'm telling you, you have to be crazy to live in this crazy world. It makes you sane somehow. That's Maxine Waters, another crazy Democrat.
And guess what? We're going to win this battle. Because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side.
And that is crazy Democrat there, Maxine Waters, from years ago, inciting violence, a battle, a fight. Here she is again.
On the side of understanding that if we can't protect the children, we can't protect anybody. And so,
this is the group that is for full-term abortion, in some cases post-birth abortion.
And if you see anybody
protecting children,
in a restaurant, in a department store,
here she goes.
Connected to their parents, the children are suffering.
I don't know what she's talking about, but that's Maxine Waters there, completely unhinged, as Democrats typically are. Again, she's talking about children, but she, most importantly, she's talking about getting in the face of Donald Trump's cabinet members and harassing them. This is the way they govern, the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi is another one. She's another classic crazy. Here she is.
9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president.
So let's stop right there just for a moment, because why did Donald Trump lose jobs in his presidency? Because of something called a pandemic. Nobody was allowed to work. They shut down everything. Joe Biden's jobs still have never gotten to the point that Donald Trump had them in 2019. There are still 2 million less Americans working today than were working when Donald Trump was president. Here's more of Nancy Pelosi.
Let's have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And he has the worst.
I don't think that anybody can accuse me of that.
Did you hear that? If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, this was on MSNBC. Even the MSNBC anchor there is pushing back on Nancy Pelosi. There was a pandemic. Nobody could work. They shut down everything. Do you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump? That's how unhinged and crazy the Democrats are.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh.
Oh, boy. Here is the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer of New York.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh.
Let's see. Are you going to threaten a Supreme Court justice? Why not? Here is the Majority Leader of the United States Senate, Chuck Schumer.
You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Is that a threat? You're going to pay a price? What's the price, Schumer?
You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Yeah, like what? Just another example of an unhinged Democrat and how they can go out and say certain things in front of everybody on a microphone, on national television. They can say things like fight and battle and tell people to harass and get into people's faces, and there is no consequence for that. Turn it around on a Republican, and it is a completely different story, isn't it? So do you believe we have equal justice? Do you believe things are equal? The mainstream media, the legacy media, they're slanted in one direction. The courts, the justice system, slanted in one direction. That's enough to make you go crazy. And I would suggest that it's good to be crazy, to keep yourself sane in this crazy world. One of my favorites is Hank Johnson. He's a congressman in Georgia. And every once in a while, I just like to play. I keep all of these things. I just keep them. This is my entertainment. This is how I have fun. When I'm bored at home, I start playing these audios and videos. Hank Johnson, one of my favorites, from Georgia. And he is a representative. And he's not very bright. He believes that if enough people in Guam get on one side of the island, it may tip over. And this was actually in a hearing, a congressional hearing. Hank Johnson is one of America's best.
This is a island that at its
This is one of my favorites.
widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore? Mm-hmm. And at its smallest level,
this is a Democrat. Hey,
location, it's
Georgia.
7 miles.
He's making laws in the House of Representatives.
Between one shore and the other.
Now he's trying to describe how correct? Small that Guam is. And he's asking an admiral this point, question.
Sir, I think
okay, he's questioning an admiral in a hearing in Congress. Hank Johnson is trying to describe Guam, how small it is.
So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And
this is painful.
I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you
figure it out for us? I would love for him to figure out the
figure
square miles
me,
of Guam. Hank Johnson figuring out the acreage and mileage of Guam. That could be a pay-per-view.
Overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000. And again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more.
This poor admiral is having to answer this question and take Hank Johnson serious. Hank Johnson thinks if enough people are on one side of Guam, that it may capsize. It may tip over. And he's making laws for you to follow. He's passing taxes. That's his job. His job is to pass laws for you to follow. He's a Democrat in the House of Representatives. Our country is a mess. We're crazy.
Secretary Holland, exactly a year ago, you were before this committee to testify and asked you about the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's 12-month status review on grizzly bears in the Greater Yellowstone ecosystem and Northern Continental Divide ecosystem. We're now 15 months into what was supposed to be a 12-month status review, and there's no end in sight.
And we have the highest inflation in 40 years. We have the highest gas prices in the history of America. We have world wars breaking out all over. We have all hell breaking loose in the Middle East. And we need to worry about grizzly bears. This is a Senate hearing with Secretary Holland going on here. This was last week. The grizzly bears are important. Don't get me wrong. I love grizzly bears. And I think they are important. And I'm sure this is important work. But we have 10 million illegal immigrants that have crossed the southern border in 3 years. They're coming in up north, too, by the way. It's wide open up north. 170, 180 different countries represented. Unknown gotaways by the millions. On the terrorist watch list, they're coming. But what about the grizzly bear report? It's been 15 months. We need the grizzly bear report. This is America's Congress at work for you. But there was an interesting part of this Secretary Holland hearing, and I'm going to play that for you now.
Common practice at your department to meet with dark money groups off the books and conceal it from the public?
This is Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri in this same hearing with Secretary Holland.
Senator, thank you for the question. And of course, I can't answer to if you're referring to our former deputy secretary. He's no longer at the department.
Who worked for you?
He worked for the president. He was appointed by the president.
He's your deputy secretary. Are you the secretary of the Department of Interior? I thought that's why you were here. Yes. Are you the secretary? Right. Don't look at her. Look at me.
Yes.
Are you the secretary?
I am.
Do these people who are sitting here today answering most of your questions, do they work for you?
They work.
Do they report for you? You're not in charge?
They work with me.
They work with you. So you're not in charge of the department. Oh, my gosh. I thought you were in charge. I thought that's why you were here.
We work as a team.
Oh, okay. So who's in charge then?
I provide the vision. I provide the overall direction.
But you're not in charge.
Our mission.
Do you take responsibility for what happens at the Department of the Interior?
I take responsibility.
Do you take full responsibility for what happens at the Department of the Interior? Good. Then why are your leadership meeting with dark money groups and concealing it from the public? Why are they doing it off the books? How many times has this happened?
Senator, this is the first I'm hearing of this. My deputy secretary is no longer there. And I can't answer to what he did when he was there.
What did they get out of it, do you suppose? What do you suppose Hans-Jörg Weiss got out of you canceling the leases after they asked you to?
I don't know who
this individual. In an off-the-books reading.
I don't know who this individual.
Oh, sure. I mean, you don't know. You're not in charge. You're not responsible. We have a corruption problem in this government, Madam Secretary. And frankly, we have a corruption problem in your department.
Thank you very much, Josh Hawley. We have a bunch of problems in America, and nobody seems to have the answers, do they? Who's in charge? It's not Joe Biden. What about Obama's people that he left behind in Washington, D.C.? Barack Obama never left Washington, D.C. That's odd. He has a couple of different houses around, but he has a place in Washington. You have a bunch of highly qualified experts. Have you ever looked them up? I've talked about them before. Look up what a highly qualified expert is. Because Barack Obama left a lot of them in our government. Because none of these buffoons can answer any questions. And then sometimes you have buffoons asking buffoons questions. When you have Hank Johnson asking an admiral whether Guam is going to tip over if enough people are on one side of the island. These are the people that are making the laws that we are supposed to follow. Do you follow me? You have to be crazy. It's the only way to stay sane in our world is to be a little bit crazy right now. And as crazy as things are, don't forget that your money is very important to you. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Our government is trying to come after your money. What about the central bank digital currency, the cryptocurrencies? What about all those things? You've worked hard for your savings. You want to protect them? Your IRA, your 401k, there's a way to do it. It's not for everybody, but it's at least worth checking out because none of us know what's going to happen in the future. I encourage you to go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out more about it. You'll find a phone number on there. You can call them, and you could qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver just by making that phone call. When you make the phone call, tell them that you heard about it right here on The Truth Be Told with Booker. That's BookerLikesGold.com. Fiction becomes a religion. Places where nothing is clear. Sanity and reason just disappear.
Chairman, there are multiple members that could yield you time. I would ask that you...
I will have you physically removed from this meeting if you don't stop.
More truth in minutes on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
I don't know if you've heard Lieutenant Joe at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, but you should. He does a great show. He's followed by The Dean's List and Dean Bowen. And that brings you to Tom Renz at 3 o'clock every afternoon, Monday through Friday, right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is The Truth Be Told. I'm Booker Scott. Thank you for being here. We just went through a crazy segment where one has to be crazy to be sane in this world that we live in. And we see now, or we have news coming out about this character, Colangelo, that went from the, and I did a little segment on it Friday night. He goes from the Biden White House. He ends up taking a job with Alvin Bragg, who is a DA in Manhattan, a borough in New York, no longer the Department of Justice. He goes there, and then the next thing you know, Donald Trump is brought up on all these charges out of Alvin Bragg's office. It doesn't make much sense. It's easy to connect those dots, but I'm going to bring someone in now that can help us do that even better. Her name is Patricia Antone. I call her Tricia because she's told me one time, just call me Tricia, and I go with that because it cuts down a syllable, which makes it easier for me. Tricia, welcome back to the program. Glad to have you.
Thanks, Booker. It's good to be here.
Well, let's see if we can connect some of these dots. We've got this Colangelo character that goes from the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. You would assume that's a pretty good job. I think he was, what, number three in charge? Is that right?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I think he was the assistant or acting associate AG. So, yeah, that would leave him in third position, basically, in Biden's DOJ.
Yeah, and so that's way up there. That's a prestigious, honorable job that he probably aspired to that position or something even higher for his whole career. And then,
well, and a lot of these career types, they move from the local to the state to the federal level. So that would be an ordinary sort of career path.
Yeah, you would think so. It's like Alvin Bragg's office in the job that he is currently in would be single A baseball. And
right.
the job he was in was the big leagues. It was Major League Baseball as the
Unless
number three
they
person.
Told him, and Tim, hey, the bigger impact you can have here is to help us take out Trump before he actually wins again. That may have proved to be the bigger bait.
Yeah, and so he's still playing ball with them, hoping for the bigger job. Maybe he's mm-hmm. Merrick Garland's replacement after Joe Biden steals the election in November.
Perhaps that's true. He wants to be the big hero that took out Trump. Everybody wants a slice of that, for sure. But what they're doing here, and what is so bizarre about this and unprecedented, not only the fact that it's former President Trump that's being persecuted, really, with this type of lawfare. But what they're trying to do is they are trying to cause a bookkeeping error to be a federal elections crime.
Yeah.
And the federal elections have already declined to prosecute that because it was so weak. So the fact that they're really reliant on the larger election fraud kind of claim in order to make the bookkeeping issues a crime. It,
right.
The whole thing, it smells to high heaven.
Well, it's a joke. But, you know, I watch a lot of media. I watch the left as well as the right, because I think it's important to understand what they're thinking about, what they're talking about. And they think uh-huh. this is a slam dunk case. I couldn't believe what I was hearing the other night, but I heard some legal expert on one of these channels that there's just no way the jury is ever going to come back with anything other than guilty in this case. It's a slam dunk, they said.
Well, and I'll tell you, if the jury instructions are, did the Trump organization classify legal as legal payments, the payments that actually ended up with these NDA payments, if that's the jury instruction, then yep, they're going to come back. We have perfect evidence that that's in fact what happened, that the payments that were sent to the lawyer in 2017 were actually reimbursements of NDA payments, consideration on NDA payments that went to Stormy Daniels. So
yeah.
If that's the jury instruction, but it shouldn't be. That shouldn't be the jury instruction. The jury instruction should be, okay, we have a bookkeeping question here that might be real appropriate to classify it as a legal expense because they were paid to an attorney.
It seems like everybody that has testified so far, from what I can gather, and again, I'm just hearing what people are saying on television and that we're in there because I'm not there. It's not on television. You can't have TV in a federal case. So It sounds to me like none of the people that the prosecution is bringing is helping their case so far.
No, they haven't, because what they failed to establish is a direct link to Trump, knowing that these payments being made to Cohen in 2017 actually related to any of this that went on in 2016. That's they're not able to make that case at all. And so at most,
And Cohen is a liar. And if they ever call him, how does that look?
Well, they're totally going to call him. Totally going to call him.
And so
far, everybody. So I think one of the things that they're really counting on, and this is the other thing that's unprecedented in this, Trump is being denied a public trial. He's supposed to have a public trial. And in as much as publicity, I know that they can't put a camera in the courtroom, but the fact that the judge has given this very lopsided gag order, and Trump is the only one that is not permitted to speak. And the fact that the press has been told, though, they can't report on jury reactions like they would normally do. So, you know, the whole thing is a denial of process, a denial of due process. And I think that they think that they can win it if they convince, if they just get some momentum, I guess, going in the direction. And the truth is, they, on the left here, there's just no regard for the law.
No.
So I think they could create a jury instruction that would bring back a guilty verdict. I totally think they could.
Have you seen any jury instructions? I have not. I've not read them anywhere.
No. There's no jury instructions out there at all. And of course, they wouldn't have jury instructions out here, you know. But I'm just saying that the only way I think that you could get a corrupt enough verdict is in instructing the jury that this is in fact what the prosecution says it is. If they don't instruct the jury that way, what they have is, there's a statute of limitations that caused this otherwise misdemeanor misclassification of business expenses to be a non-issue, right? That would be the extent of what they have. And so they have to be able to say, okay, well, these misclassifications of expenses related to a federal crime that this court has no jurisdiction over.
Right.
So the whole thing is very convoluted, and it's outside the jurisdiction of the court attempting to try it. And the only way they get a guilty verdict here is if they misinstruct the jury, if they tell the jury that it has to bring back a guilty finding over a misdemeanor that otherwise isn't prosecutable anymore.
Let's go back to the gag order for just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You brought that up, and I wrote a little piece on Monday, I guess, about it being probably the best campaign investment in the history of campaigns. For only $1,000 every time he breaks this gag order by putting something on Truth Social, it's all over the mainstream media and legacy media. Everybody takes a screenshot of it, and then everybody reposts it all over social media. So
then they talk about it nonstop, even on the left.
Correct.
Yeah.
He spent $10,000 for probably $50 million in marketing. And
it's brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's great. I you know, and that's what's happening.
Well,
and
now then, they're threatening though to put him in jail.
Yeah,
now
I know. And last week, I think it was Thursday, the prosecution said, "No, we actually are not calling for that at this point." They know if they call for him to go to jail, and if Mershon has to put him in jail, that it's a 10-point bump in the polls. It's having the reverse effect that they want.
And everything that they've done so far has had this reverse effect. So
yeah, it's great.
It really is amazing. Yeah, it really is. It's an amazing thing. It's infuriating, but it's also amazing the way Trump has been able to leverage it to his benefit. And thank God, you know, and that's as it should be, on the basis that what is happening here, just on the face of it, is so unjust. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a joke. And so let's make it a joke. Let's make it what it is. That's exactly what it is. So let's assume for a minute that the jury has some bad instructions and they find him guilty all 12 of them, which I think is going to be difficult. You would think, I understand there's an attorney on there.
There's an attorney on there. Yeah.
So I think it's going to be difficult to get all 12. But again, you're dealing with a jury in New York with a liberal activist judge that has donated to Joe Biden's campaign. That's what you're dealing with in the courthouse. So let's assume for a minute that he is found guilty. So we know an appeal will come. What does that look like? Do you have any idea?
I just don't even have any idea. I think I'm just kind of stumped as to what that looks like. I think that either a guilty verdict or a if they try to jail him for the stupid gag orders, I think either of those eventualities are going to actually only increase in Trump's polls. I really do, because of the fact that it's now becoming so evident to even people who were loosely connected. Several months ago, people were still taking some of these cases seriously, and they were still wondering, huh, you know, maybe he really has been pretty corrupt for a long time, because look at all these cases, you know. So if you haven't been paying attention, maybe they would come to that. And so when they polled the question, if he's convicted, would you peel off support for him? Some of those people said, yeah, we would. But today, I think it's become real clear, as each of these lawfare campaigns has just collapsed under its own weight.
Yeah,
I think it's become clear what is actually going on. So now I think, yeah, conviction would actually even help him.
Yeah, and when you look at South Florida and Judge Cannon and her releasing and unsealing the unredacted things that Jack Smith tried to do, very interesting
that
things. And it looks like that one is unraveling in so many ways, which could also then unravel Washington D.C.'s Jack Smith case. And they're waiting for the Supreme Court to make some type of ruling or decision on things before it goes forward. I remember months and months ago, I said that none of these cases would get finished before the election. And this New York case, someone said, well, the New York case may, and I think the New York case is, but I believe the appeal will come and it's not going to have any effect on what happens in November with the election. He's still going to be able to campaign even if found guilty, and as they go through the appeal process.
I think so too. And I think that actually a guilty finding will actually it'll be helpful, actually. The same way some of this other stuff. I think every single unraveling has had a cumulative effect on the rest of it.
And really, it comes down also to the way Americans are struggling. You know, middle income, fixed income, low income. These people are struggling out here in America. They're living on credit cards, and one missed paycheck and they could be homeless. And it's going to come. So many things are going to come down to the economy. And then you look at the border also. And you were talking about polling. And one thing that really has me concerned still right now, when you look at Donald Trump and in this election, there's still 18-20% of these never Trumper Republicans that are continuing to vote for, say, Nikki Haley, like they did in Pennsylvania. Somehow Donald Trump's got to bring them in.
I think too, though, to kind of offset a little bit, the Nikki Haley set are ideologically driven. Right. Mm-hmm. They're just ideal. And I don't know that we can bring them in because they're not responsive to reason. And so, OK, I think we have to accept that group isn't coming in. But I do think we're going to make up for it even more than in the independents. I think that's what's happening, because the independents are not ideologically driven. They are going to be information driven. So I think that as we get closer to the election, they're going to take a closer look. And we have a chance with information-driven people, but we don't really have a chance with ideologically-driven people.
And it's interesting that Donald Trump is going to speak at the Libertarian Convention this week. That's a good move. Yeah, there's a lot of conservative libertarians.
And there's in that conservative libertarians, there's also that libertarian block has an awful lot of independents that people are not necessarily all ideological in their choices.
Yeah. And it's also understanding where we are as a country too. To me, there are two sides right now. There aren't three, four, or five. There's two. There's the good side and the bad side. There's the side that's going to communism, and there's the side that wants individual liberty and freedom. Pick a side.
Well, there's the American side. There's the American side and the Marxist side. And that's how I think we need to start conceiving of it and talking about it as, are you pro-America or are you pro-Marxist? Because if you're not pro-America, then you are throwing your weight behind the Marxists, even if you don't mean to do it.
And that's the part that I don't understand about that 18 to 20% Nikki Haley, never Trumpers. Can they not see that? Can they not see what's happening in the country? Or do they just hate Donald Trump so much they don't care?
I think that you've got it. The left, the latter is the case. When you get that ideologically driven, when you are just repulsed by a person, and maybe I shouldn't say ideologically, maybe I should say viscerally, people who vote with their emotions. I think a lot of people have been trained in this country to vote as a form of self-expression. It becomes a narcissistic exercise of saying who I am.
I think that's a good point.
If you decide that person is awful, then you can't vote for him no matter what rationale exists to do so, because he's not who I am.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But to me, it makes more sense that we have the highest inflation in 40 years. We have the highest gas prices ever. We have 10 million illegal immigrants that have come in from 180 countries. Yeah. That's got to stop. It's not going to stop with Joe Biden.
No, it certainly isn't. And what's terrifying is that now he's bringing them in from the Gaza area. He's bringing in people who are avowed America haters.
Let me run something by you, because here's what I believe. I think that part of the reason that all of these illegal immigrants are coming in, and then the refugees that will be coming in from the Gaza Strip, is that because when you pay attention where they are taking them, I don't know if you saw last week that the program that brings people in from Cuba, Haiti, Venezuela, and there's one more country I don't recall, but 200,000 flew in 8 months. Most of them came to the state of Florida, and they came to Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, and Orlando. Mostly, they're flipping districts and ultimately the state, but they are also concentrating them in blue areas, both in states and in cities. And I believe it's for, number one, when the census comes in 2030, they will ensure that the Democrats will forever hold the power in Congress. There will be no way for the Republicans to win, as all of these people are counted in the census, and then the lines are going to be redrawn. And I believe that's ultimately the long play for what we're seeing.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that is the long play. And I hope that part of it can backfire in a way, because if they bring a whole lot of people into Republican states, red states, and ultimately those states end up getting more representation, then it may backfire a little bit.
But they're taking them, in the case of Florida, they took them down to South Florida, where there are a couple of iffy red seats, with Jimenez has one of those seats. And, that could be flipped. And then Orlando is heavily liberal, and so is Tampa. You know, both of those are blue areas. And then you look at all the other places where they're going to blue cities. They're sending them there on buses and on planes. And to me, it just makes a lot of sense. They're getting ready for the 2030 census, which is here before you know it. And before you know it, the Republicans will never have control of the House or the Senate again.
Well, and I think the two things we have to deploy in response to this are, I hope Trump means it, about a ginormous deportation exercise of all those who are here illegally. I hope he means it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing we got to do is we got to get busy and make the argument for America. We got to learn how to make the argument for America again.
Can you hang on and do one more segment with us?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
If you ask me, this whole world gone to hell. I speak the truth, but these days the truth won't sell. I bleed red, white, and blue in my ways you just can't change. Wrong or right, I give my life.
this place called USA.
More Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in a minute on America Out Loud.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill, it's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutLoud.news. A place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Coming up here tonight at 7 o'clock, it is Unleash the Political News Hour, followed by the National Security Hour, and then at 9 o'clock, like every night, Monday through Friday, it is After Dark with Robin Andrew. I'm Booker Scott, along with Patricia Antone, who writes here on AmericaOutLoud.news. Please go and find her work. She does incredible articles, great detail, and incredible depth. So please go find her. You go to AmericaOutLoud.news, go to authors, and you will find her, Patricia Antone. I call her Tricia. Tricia, we're in the middle of a good conversation. I didn't want you to leave yet because you brought something to my mind, and I want to keep talking about the immigration part and how it may affect elections. And So let's pick up there, right where we left off.
Right. Okay.
Do you think that they are going to, because there is a law that outlaws non-citizens from voting. It is 18 U.S.C. 611, the very first sentence. Non-citizens are not permitted to vote in presidential, vice presidential, or federal elections, is what it says. Uh-huh. Do you think the objective is for illegals to vote in this? Or do you believe that's just some of the minutia that we get caught up in and get distracted by?
No, I think that is something that they intend to do. Notice the way the leftists work is they don't try to attack these things directly, right? When they first started in on the gender bit, they said, oh, yeah, we can see that sex and gender are two separate things. Well, now they're trying to change the sex of a child in deference to the gender. So you can see that they start here and then they move the ball. They'll say, no, we get it that people who are not legally or who are not citizens don't get to vote in federal elections, but we're going to give them a license in our state and we're going to invite them to vote on the mayor and the city council. Well, then it gets all mushy and squishy, the difference between a citizen and a non-citizen. And that's the intent. That's the intent, is to fuzz up those lines. And then pretty soon the processes that would otherwise safeguard us from counting illegal votes in the election, they get all mushy and squishy. And that's a whole lot easier in a system where we treat ballots the way we treat pizza coupons. We mail them out to everybody, right? And then instead of counted in the very districts in which they, you know, in the precincts in which they are generated, and then each precinct reports to another, you know, the higher up and so forth, and tell you, well, that they're no longer counted that way. They're all sent to a great big warehouse where it's a whole lot easier to pull in a pallet of we just found this pallet. So the whole thing, getting it fuzzying up the lines. That's what they're trying to do, is fuzzy up the lines between citizen and non-citizen.
It's interesting you bring that up, because I have told the story before. Years ago when I, and I'm talking a long time ago, this would have been 1986, and I was a young person in radio, and my job on election night was go to the courthouse, and I reported from the courthouse the election results, and I got to watch the process, and the process, the process was exactly what you said. The county clerk, who was the one who did the election, the information was brought in precinct by precinct.
There you go.
And both people that were running in the races were sitting there, their representatives. Us, the media, were there. It was all right there in front of us. And how many did this precinct have? It was 148 to 120. And that was it.
There you go.
And it was all done by 9 o'clock Central Time every time, every election.
It was done by hand, and it was done in a manner that within the precincts, people watch. It was oversight. You know, the individual voters were permitted to witness this.
And now we've gotten to the point where we've just confused everything. And you talking about fuzzying up the lines is a great point, because by the time you come out of the ether after the election, after they've been counting votes for 3 days or 3 weeks, and then you happen to say, well, we think there may be fraud, they're going to say there is no widespread election fraud, which, you know, I believe that it was probably a Democrat that said that first, because I can't imagine a Republican saying that. And then the Democrats repeated it enough where even the judges believed it. And in reality, it didn't take widespread election fraud, did it? Well, it took five states and two counties in each state.
Exactly. And notice, too, the way that line moved, you know, this Overton window thing. There is no election fraud. Well, okay, we'll concede there's some election fraud, but it's not enough to matter, right? That's another movement there. So imagine you get your change counted back to you, and the person says, well, there is a little bit of counterfeit money in your change, but it's not enough to matter.
Right, but here it's most of your money back. Speaking of that, I had a conversation with someone today, and I told them, we were talking about younger generations working a cash register and how if you mess them up somehow, they look at you like a deer in the headlight. And one thing I do, if it's $12.12, I will give them 20 and then 12 cents. And I have already put in $20. They have no idea what to do. They look at you like you have three heads. And I just have the biggest time with that. It's part of my entertainment. I don't know. It's that and playing Hank Johnson audio, where he thinks Guam is going to tip over if enough people get on one side of the island.
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, I played it. I played it earlier in this hour. I keep it. It's in my favorites on my downloads.
And
yeah, when I'm having a bad day, I listen to Hank Johnson question an admiral about Guam tipping over, and it makes my day better. And then I go to the store and I buy something for $12.12, and I give them $20.12, and I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with
them. Or give them $20.02.
Oh, see how boy. They would quit. I wouldn't get my food. So
there you go. Yeah, math is racist, though. So
do you think we have an election? That's a big question a lot of people are asking right now.
You know, I hadn't thought about that until recently. And then I read about how the WHO is trying to gin up another pandemic scare. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, they may pull off another crisis. My dearest hope here is that the credibility required to do that is gone. I can't imagine people going ahead and following the CDC and the WHO again. I just can't imagine it.
I don't think enough would. I really don't believe enough would.
Yeah.
I think there's some that would. And the funny thing is, when I see someone now with a mask on, my heart sinks. I don't know if you have that reaction, but I just feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know, I know psychologically you're messed up.
And that damage is probably permanent for a lot of people who just literally got traumatized by all this, and they're not going to recover. They're going to be a frightened person for the rest of their lives.
And I really sense some compassion for those people.
Mm-hmm.
And our pastor recently mentioned that right now in this country and in this world, it's a time really to have a lot of compassion for a lot of these people. When you look at transgender and the LGBTQIAA, the CRT and the DEI, we have to have compassion right now.
Yeah, we do. We do. I understand the compassion, but boy, I hope it's not misplaced.
and you're not the one to start giving it. Yeah, you say, well, I'm not leading the way.
I'm not leading in that because we really do have to be cautious about this whole, the misplacement of compassion. What I guess I should say is the virtue signaling.
Absolutely.
Under the guise of passion. And that's what's so dangerous. When people use this virtue signaling and they try to position themselves as compassionate, then there's an awful lot of damage being done right now. You know, this for one example, this reduction of harm approach to addiction, wherein what we'll do instead of trying to get people off the drugs, what we're going to do instead is provide them clean paraphernalia to use, or we'll provide safe injection sites. So, well, in other words, we're going to go ahead and make the use of your substance seem more safe. And that perpetuates the problem. It's doing the same thing with addiction that now, of course, they're applying the same thought process to the trans, where the person suffers gender dysphoria, what we'll do is we'll turn the rest of the world upside down in order to accommodate your perception of yourself. And so we perpetuate the body-mind conflict instead of trying anything at all to resolve it.
Yeah, and these kids that think they are a different sex, I don't know about you when you were 6 years old, but I was literally eating mud pies. I was playing with G.I. Joes in the creek and eating mud pies, and I was in no position to make a decision about what I was going to be in life, because in 1 week I went from a fireman to the garbage man as a profession, and really it was only because I could ride on the back of a truck. If you remember, the garbage man rode on the back of the truck.
There you go. Those trucks were, right. You got to hang on instead of,
That was the depth of my thinking at six. So,
there you go. And I wanted to drag the dog into the tree, and I also wanted to chase after my brothers, and I gave my parents fits because I wasn't acting like a young lady at all, and I had no intention of being a young lady when I was that age.
Yeah, my wife says all the time, she used to run around with a knife strapped to her leg, and she wore boys' clothes all the time, that if she were a kid now, she would be a boy. Somebody would get her and make her a boy.
Oh, they would absolutely try to do that. And that's, you know, I think it's so much less tolerant of the whole idea of basically gender expression. I mean, if you wanted to have real authentic tolerance for a great big wide swath of gender expression that's going to be normal, especially with children, then of course you'd allow a kid to pick up a doll or a little girl to pick up a ball or whatever, you know. And today we have a whole lot less tolerance for it. We're immediately talking about making lifelong changes to a child's body in order to chase a gender expression that truly is under construction.
Yeah.
So it's just nuts. It really is nuts.
And it's funny that you say that, because I started this hour with saying that someone asked me recently if I was crazy, and I had to think about it and say, yeah, I probably am crazy, because I think you have to be crazy to live in this insane world right now.
Yeah.
And does that make any sense to you?
It so makes sense to me. I sometimes look at the world today through the eyes of like my mother or my grandmother even. And I think, what would my grandmother think of the things that she's seeing? And what she'd say is, I think what she'd say is, wisdom is dead.
Yeah.
Wisdom is completely dead. They have no patience for a process of life. There's no ability to handle, there's no resilience, there's no ability to handle discomfort. We're teaching children today that life ought to be comfortable and that your feeling state is the most important thing on the planet. And because we're chasing feelings all the time, we're not chasing anything that's of lasting value.
Yeah, convictions are lost on so many.
Yeah.
We blow in the wind depending on how we feel, and we're not grounded in things that matter.
That's so dangerous. It's so dangerous because it causes us as a people to be weak. So.
And you wake up one day and your country has become a Marxist country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we just we blow around. Yeah.
Yeah. And exactly. We're so much more vulnerable to totalitarian rule this way. And I think that a lot of people don't appreciate why did the founders construct a country in which power is divided? What's the benefit of that? We need to start teaching America again. We need to start teaching why is it that a free economy, the main feature of a free economy is consent between peers in society, and the main feature between a controlled society is force. We need to start teaching people the arguments for America.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And we also have to take self-responsibility, because that thing, that piece of paper called the Constitution, it's worthless mm-hmm. unless we understand that we have to take a self-responsibility. If we don't mm-hmm. abide by it, then it's not worth the paper that it's written on.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So when people say, well, I don't get into politics. I try to ignore politics. What they're saying is I want to abdicate my responsibility as a citizen, as a self-governed citizen.
Well said. You know, and people love me coming to Thanksgiving and Christmas because all I talk about is religion and politics. And I don't think there's anything more important than those two things in our life. So I talk about them.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Who are we as a person? Who are we with our Creator? And who are we as a people? I don't think that it gets more profound than that.
So you agree with me that we have to be crazy to live in this insane world that we live in.
Pretty much. Pretty
much. Well, I don't know how we did what we just did, but we just did it. We went from the New York case with Alvin Bragg and Donald Trump and the Stormy Daniels hush money to where we just ended up. And it seemed yeah. like it was seamless. I don't know about you if you feel that way, but that's the way it feels like to me.
Well, it was. And I think the reason it was seamless, actually, Booker, is that a lot of what's going on the left today is all driven by the same ideology. So you can take that ideology and look at how it manifests in weird cases being brought and in political prosecution. Then the same ideology is destroying children in the trans movement. So it's all being produced by the same whatever it takes to yep. gain power ideology.
Yep. Patricia Anton, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I appreciate being here. Thank you so much.
And again, you can go to AmericaOutloud.news, go to hosts and authors, and you will find Patricia Anton and all of her articles that she writes. You'll really enjoy them. My name is Booker Scott, and don't forget that you were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth, and salt without flavor, it has no value. It's worthless. So whatever you do, keep being salty. Unleash the Political News Hour. It's coming up next. Have a great night.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.